this edition of Tech AU. My name is Jason Cartwright. It's episode 42. Thanks very much for joining me once again. And let's talk about the technology stories of the week. We've got to talk about little chick chick boom lady, Miss Claire Werbeloff. She rose to fame online this week as she jumped in front of a camera, I believe it was a Nine News camera, and gave a crap spiel about a story that didn't happen. And yeah, that got picked up and remixed and all sorts of craziness on YouTube. So she blew up and had her 15 minutes of fame. It's really interesting how quickly that sort of that story spread online. And what's going to be more interesting is to watch if she can actually, you know, turn this hype and you know, promotion around her name into something substantial. So, i.e., a job. There's already been, you know, stories about her being offered a, you know, a bikini shoot in a men's magazine. She turned that down, apparently. But more rumours that television networks may even look at having her as a host. Seeing that she was that comfortable in jumping in front of a camera sort of shows a bit of enthusiasm and, you know, maybe offer a job. So let's see how that turned out. But there was certainly a lot of conversations, you know, on Twitter and YouTube and that sort of stuff about Claire this week. So she is Australia's little internet celebrity for the week. A lot of people think she's a bit of a bogan. Good on her anyway for having a shot at it. So I think most people probably shy away from cameras. And good luck to her. Anyway, moving on. New South Wales schools, some of their netbooks are going to be trialling Windows 7. So the Lenovo scored the contract to provide netbooks to New South Wales schools, and they've sort of basically teamed up with Microsoft, or the schools have, around three schools at the moment. So it's going to be around 400 netbooks, and they're going to be throwing Windows 7 on there and trialling it and seeing how it goes. They were due to ship with XP on. So I think this is a really good move. It's great to see so many people jumping onto Windows 7 early. A lot of the time we see businesses, and government especially, holding back and waiting until, you know, things are not only fully released, but also, you know, we've got that mindset of, hey, you got to wait till the first service pack before you jump on anything. So, government and businesses in general have typically been very slow to move to new operating systems, so it's great that they're looking at Windows 7 this early on for those netbooks. You're certainly going to get better battery life and management out of Windows 7. There's a lot of other benefits. Just the fact that you're not putting a, you know, 8 or 9 year old operating system on a netbook for a kid, and going, you know, here, go learn the world of computers on something that's, you know, already outdated. So it's really good that, you know, once they move on from school, they're going to be using Windows 7 in the enterprise. So it's great that they're going to get hands on and to touch that, you know, at school. So that's a good move, I think, that they're trialling that. Hopefully the trial turns out really well. And I think a lot of businesses in Australia or around the world are probably in the same position, that they've perhaps taken the opportunity to look at the beta, seen the positive you know, reviews and feedback online about Windows 7, and tried out the RC as well. So I myself am running it at work, and you know, that's probably the exception to the rule, but it's good to know what applications will work and what won't when it comes time that a business, you know, wants to roll this across their organization to hundreds, if not thousands, of machines. So overall, it's been very positive for Windows 7, I think, and Microsoft have got themselves on a bit of a winner there. One quote from the Australian IT story about this is that, according to a Microsoft Australia spokesman, Windows 7 is tracking well for commercial availability in the fourth quarter of 2009. Now, that's not exactly breaking news. We sort of, you know, knew it was going to be around later this year, but it's good to have it confirmed. And I would suspect it's going to be August, September-ish, you know, maybe October when it actually ships, and you can go and buy machines with it on. So that's, also just quickly on this story, the netbooks are also going to be coming with Office Professional, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Obviously running IE, that's part of Windows, it's no worries. And also, I didn't know this, some Adobe software is going to be on there as well. So Photoshop Elements, Premiere Elements, Dreamweaver and Flash. Dreamweaver and Flash, fantastic. Premiere, I really don't know how you're going to go editing video on an netbook. Yeah, maybe some SD stuff it might be able to cope with, but you know, maybe from the internal webcam on those netbooks. But I doubt that you were doing too much video editing on there. So it's still, it's good to have exposure to those multimedia software. And, you know, that's it. That's it for that story. So another Microsoft story. They were really big this week, I have to say. They got a lot of positive press. And one of the reasons for that is the Zune HD announcement. So we're in Australia. We still don't have a Zune. They announced, you know, the Zune HD this week. And the big question is, will we see it in Australia? Well, why would we want to see it, firstly? Well, the truth is that not everybody wants to buy into the Apple ecosystem by, you know, through iTunes and by an Apple iPod Touch. So we really need a competitor for those people. I think there is a reasonable-sized audience out there waiting for, you know, the equivalent of an iPod Touch, and this really could be it. And the caveat to that is the store. You know, you need somewhere the end-to-end solution of where you buy music and the hardware device. And Zune HD looks great. Looks thin, sleek, slimline, minimal buttons. I think they've got the one home button in the bottom that's similar to the Touch. Great UI, OLED screen, that sort of stuff. Multi-touch, you know, it from a hardware standpoint, this thing looks great. But the reason it probably, is probably not going to come to Australia, or at least not anytime soon, is on the software side. The music store, the Zune store or marketplace, that means they have to do deals with all the Australian music providers. And yeah, I'm sure that's a pretty complicated thing. This is, you know, probably a couple of years on since the Zune was first introduced, so Zune Australia should, or Microsoft Australia should really be looking at, if you're not already, should be looking at signing those deals and getting that deal here and, you know, elsewhere around the world, outside of the US, because, you know, the world is a lot bigger than the US. And I understand for the initial Zune that you had to, you know, create the product, put it out there in the marketplace, see what the reception was like. But after you check that box and said, okay, it's somewhat successful, we've got a product here we can push and develop and build a brand around over time, then it really should be looking on a global scale. And at the moment, iTunes is really the only place that's offering that music store globally. So those contracts can be made. It's just a matter of getting down to business and, you know, trying to, you know, maybe bring that subscription model. Maybe that's something new for Australia. So instead of just having, you know, buying your individual tracks like iTunes offers, maybe you do bring that Zune Pass where you get access to all the music in the catalogue for a fixed fee, with the option to buy, you know, 5 or 10 tracks per month and keep those ones. I think that's a good deal, and I think it's something that Australians would really, really like. I know myself that had I had the option of choosing a Zune HD or an iPod Touch initially, I probably would have gone for the Zune HD. Simply, you know, I wasn't a fan of the Apple ecosystem, tying in with iTunes at the time. It was DRM content, that sort of stuff. So it's, I think they're really missing an opportunity, and they should bring it here faster. You know, so that's my take on it. Overall, that was very positive, you know, well received. And I was surprised to see hands-on videos so quickly after the launch. You know, these things sometimes can be, hey, here's our product, you know, you'll get to see it all hands-on in a few months or 6 months or whatever. It was really in the next couple of days after the announcement we started to see the Engadgets and Gizmodos get hands-on and videos online and things. So that was a very quick turnaround, and by all reports is a good device. They're talking about a full release date in the States for that, so, you know, third quarter of the Australian calendar. So Microsoft really owned the news a lot this week, and they had, you know, the Zoom HD announcement, but also Bing as well, their new rebranded search engine. Well, it's more than just a rebranding. It is a redevelopment of their search engine. So if you've ever been to live.com, you know that's their search. And that's going to be redirected to Bing.com. And ZDNet have an article saying that in Australia, that's going to be as early as next Wednesday when that happens. So that's maybe even the non-MSN stuff as well. I'm not sure if they're going to be implementing the Bing search engine. But let's get down to what it is. It's different. You can't out-Google Google, right? And I think Microsoft have finally woken up to that fact. They've spent years trying to build market share in the search area and have failed to do so. Anything significant that's going to, you know, really threaten Google. So it looks like they've gone back to the drawing board and had to think about, well, what is a product that's going to be benefiting the consumers enough that they will actually start to move away from Google. And that's really the key to winning market share, is not doing the same as Google and just having the Microsoft version, but actually offering consumers something, you know, more, adding additional features and making search results relevant. You know, I don't care if when I search and Google tells me, hey, there's 15 million results for that search. I don't care. I just want the one I'm looking for. So from the videos that they've shown so far, it really looks impressive in the way that it aggregates the information. So you do a search, and the first result will likely be the official site. So if you're searching for a product or service, and you know, usually you're going to get, you know, the top 10 blog sites or whatever about that service, you know, them reviewing it or whatever it be, but you actually just want to get to that product site, that's going to be the first link, which is great. First of all, that's great. The second link under that, or information slab under that, will be information about that. So say if it's a company, it's going to have their phone number, all that sort of stuff. Or they're also doing like product reviews, and if I was a product review site, I'd be really kind of nervous and a bit worried about this. But you can search for, say, a digital camera on Bing, and it'll go out to other sites and find reviews and bring them up to the surface, them up to the front page, and you can compare and things like that, all just using the search engine. So you're not clicking through to 10 different links to find the right review on whatever you're looking for, or, you know, search on this camera, find this link, open that in a tab, search on your second option, open that in a tab, and then trying to compare them manually. It's just all done through the search engine, and you've got your filters on the left-hand side, and that's going to be very interesting to see once that launches, and that's going to be in this coming week, how it all goes. And if they can, I'm absolutely sure they're going to get a huge bump when it initially launches, but the real question is, how much can they retain long term? You know, what's the tail on that? And hopefully it's through innovations like this that pushes Google to develop their search engine, because realistically Google has been the same. You know, they've added a couple of minor things, but Google's been Google for the last 10 to 15 years, right? So it's good to see somebody trying to take search in a different direction. And competition is good, ultimately, for the consumer. And then we have the choice of if we do want to move or not. So, what else? Well, Twitter. TechCrunch sat down with Biz Stone, one of the founders of Twitter, this week, and interviewed him and talked about the business models, or potential business models, Twitter could use. And you know, really confirmed that they're not really looking to do a typical advertising model of, you know, just showing ads to the end user and then expecting them to click through and stuff like that. They're really more of after a business approach. The businesses using the service, getting value out of Twitter, would actually pay a fee. And what that fee looks like, or how it's charged, or, you know, all that sort of stuff isn't built yet. It needs to be developed, thought out, you know, and built out. So as my computer goes to sleep, fantastic. Cool. Alrighty. So what that may look like, and this is just speculation, but so you could have an ability to authorize accounts. So if I say I'm TechAU and somebody else's, or 10 other people are saying they're TechAU, that I would have some way to go in there and authorize and authenticate myself and say, no, I am, this account is TechAU account. So when people search, you know, TechAU Twitter, they actually find my account and not, you know, the 10 people trying to be TechAU. So another instance would be, or another option would be to how they group multiple accounts for one business. So say you're a chain business, you know, Golden Chain Motels or something, for example. You've got the overall head company and then you've got the individual motels. How do you, other than them having Golden Chain and town name afterwards as their Twitter account, how do you group them all into one Twitter account, manage that, monitor all the conversations that are going on, making sure there's no, you know, potential lost revenue being left on the table, that all inquiries are being picked up, you know, that turns into to rentals or, you know, dollars effectively. So that sort of leads into the statistics that can benefit a business as well. So the analytics that Google could provide to a business, that, you know, they may charge for that at some point in the future. And that, you know, hey, if you're the Dells of the world, you're making $1 million from the stuff that's coming from Twitter, your traffic and purchases that are, you know, you've attributed and say, this purchase was somebody who came from Twitter. If you're making $1 million a year out of that, then yeah, you could afford to throw some money towards, you know, to Twitter to pay for that and, you know, get additional benefits and turn that $1 million into $10 million the next year. So that's something to look out for businesses or services in general. So it's going to be interesting how Twitter becomes a monetized service and pays the bills. But love the Twitter. As you know, twitter.com/techau if you want to follow me. Just passed 1,000 followers this month, so last week I think it was. So very happy, and I love the fact that I can ask a question and get a response in, you know, pretty quick amount of time. So it's fantastic. Just a few more stories of the week. I'm going to run through these pretty quick. Google announced Wave, which is their communication collaboration software. It's really early, really underdeveloped, so don't expect to see that anytime. That's why I'm not going into any detail on it today. There is a video out there online with the developers of Wave. At it was announced at Google's I/O conference, so go search for that. And I'm sure if you're into that stuff, early betas and, well, it's not in beta, it's technical preview or alpha or whatever you want to call it. Really early days for Wave, but yeah, it looks like it's got some potential. So another thing this week, Gymini, it's an iPhone app and an online service for you know, gym stuff, you know, as the name suggested. They got renamed as Daily Burn. Who knows why? I like Gymini as a name a lot better. And yeah, I've been using it for my weight loss, tracking that, for the last probably couple of years now, and I love the service. So just a quick heads up, it's now called Daily Burn. Vista SP2 was released as well. Don't think anybody actually cares. Anybody still running Vista? Yes, go and update. And adds a couple of things like Blu-ray burning for those two people who have a Blu-ray burner. And you know, better Wi-Fi, Search 4.0, which you probably got through updates anyway. It's not a big update, but it's probably important you get it if you got it. And then let's talk about what's coming up. E3 is coming up this week, so expect a lot of gaming news. I'm hoping for Forza 3. That's my big expectation out of E3 this year. And I also got sent TiVo 1 TB expanded drive. So I'll be reviewing that this week and bring that to you next week on the podcast. So that's all for episode 42. Thanks very much for joining me. Jason@techau.tv if you've got any feedback or comments. Or as I said, twitter.com/techau. Follow me, chat to me, @reply, DM me, whatever you want. Thanks very much for joining me.